A newly released book entitled The Book of Dares helps us move forward toward creating the answer to the question, where are the good male role models? With violence on the rise, not just in our homes, but on our streets, and political division we've never seen this contentious before, primarily brought to us by a though slowly changing and still predominantly male Congress, many of us are left asking, where are all the good male role models? Two authors decided to take on not only this question, but its answer in their new book, The Book of Dares. Author Ted Bunch and Anna Marie Johnson Teague offer guidance to parents of boys, helping boys expand their worldview, inspire more respect toward girls and non-binary kids, and generally develop a healthier idea of manhood. And they do this by implanting a series of dares. It's a grounded look at practical parenting strategies and ways of organizing work to promote healthy manhood, authenticity, and gender equity. This book was written to help fill that gap while being fun and accessible for boys and their parents and caretakers, and they're here to talk to us about it today. Thank you both so much for joining us. It's such a pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you for having us.
You talk about building healthy manhood. Can we start there? What does healthy manhood actually look like?
Sure. Healthy manhood is really respect and valuing everyone. The healthy manhood is expressing your full range of emotions. It's doing things that do not denigrate women or girls or those who don't conform to the binary. It's having female friends that are just friends, that you're not, it's not any kind of sexual conquest that's involved. It's really being in touch with our full range of humanity. And as you started, our society is in a moment of great transformation, and a lot of focus is on the evolution of masculinity. Parents of boys are confronted with terms like toxic masculinity, male privilege, and based on our recent experience in Washington, D.C., even white privilege is something that's being challenged and looked at now more than it ever has before. So the headlines are dominated with stories about men behaving badly. But being a boy is a wonderful thing. And to make every boy's lived experience the best it can be, we've been intentional about encouraging their authenticity through this book and encouraging the development of their empathy and educating them around healthy relationships and promoting emotional literacy and emotional learning for these boys. And after 20 years of working with and educating men and boys, we know that healthy manhood is the solution. It's the antidote for some of the most destructive problems in our society, things like domestic violence and dating violence, sexual assault, sexual harassment, bullying, homophobia, gun violence, school shootings, male suicide. It's all tied together. And this book really helps to prevent those things and allow conversations to promote the authenticity and the healthy manhood within these boys.
Anna Marie, did you want to step in there?
Yeah, sure. A call to men coined the term the man box to really illustrate the collective socialization of men. That's how boys are taught to view manhood and what society says it means to be a man. So, for example, men and boys are expected to be strong and aggressive and dominating and powerful and athletic, and to be providers and protectors and decision makers and leaders. And all those qualities can be great, but what happens to the boy who falls short of those expectations? Most of the time, they're shamed for being not man enough. And these teachings are reinforced in things that we say all the time that we don't think a thing about, like big boys don't cry and you should man up and you're acting like a girl and you need to just be a man. But what these messages really tell our boys is that it's not safe, it's not okay, and it's not even safe, really, to show emotion or to be afraid. And so the Book of Dares is designed to push back against that socialization so that we can encourage authenticity in our boys. We can allow them to show us who they really are and to be who they really are. I mean, I'm the mom of a 12-year-old son, and I want my son Jack to know that I want him to be just who he was created to be. He can be tough and strong and kind-hearted and expressive. He can love basketball and golf and theater and art. I want to celebrate all of him and not just the parts that society deem are important to its view of boyhood and ultimately manhood.
And why dares as the teaching tool? Tell us why that's particularly useful.
So we talked with thousands of boys around the world about the idea of dares, and unanimously they told us that they were frightening and they're fascinating. that it's impossible to know the outcome of a dare. It's scary to imagine a bad one. And with every dare, there's the potential for embarrassment, shame, or being laughed at. However, all that aside, boys told us they still found dares appealing and that they were fascinated with dare culture and the respect earned by completing dares. So we wanted to give them a concept that they were attracted to already, right? We wanted to meet them where they are, so to speak. But we wanted to flip it and turn them into 100 positive challenges that reinforce the values of a call to men. And those are healthy manhood, authenticity, and gender equity.
Can we talk about some of the dares in the book that you feature and some of the most effective ones?
Well, there's 100 of them, and we believe that they're all effective and they're all very different. But I'll give you an example of one, for instance, that's focused on promoting healthy manhood. Dare to name 3 emotions you felt today. Now, you'd be surprised how many boys and even grown men cannot do this. We found that when young people talk about something important, the adults in their lives are quick to offer opinions and solutions. I know myself as a father, I want to solve the problem for my son and my daughter sometimes, and I want to get right to the bottom line, where that's not always the most helpful. Actually, one of the best ways to respond is by asking, how did you feel about that? How are you feeling? Prompting the boys to articulate their feelings builds emotional literacy and also gives them permission that having emotions other than anger, because that's the one that boys are taught that are okay to express, but that to have emotions is normal, it's expected. And it helps them process what's going on in their lives. It also sets them up to be better communicators as they get older in their personal lives and even in their professional lives. But that's one example of healthy manhood. And I'll ask Anna Marie to share another.
Yeah, one of my favorites is actually designed to encourage gender equity, and it's Dare to Chip in for Equal Pay. And this dare is great because it presents a scenario where a brother and a sister are asked to do the dishes for a week. They do the same work, they both do a great job, but at the end of the week, the girl is paid $30 and the boy is only paid $27. So you can imagine what's going down in that household when that happens. I mean, young people know, they have a radar for what's fair, and they immediately identify the bias and they're fussing about it. So this dare is a simple, effective way for families to talk about what can be a really complicated issue that persists in our society.
If I can name just a few other dares, for instance, dare to care about the environment, dare to learn something new about yourself, dare to ask a girl what she thinks. There's all kinds of dares in all of these areas, the healthy masculinity, the authenticity, and gender equity.
Can we elaborate a bit on dare to ask a woman what she thinks? I'm sure there's lots of women out there who might relate to that concept. Can you expound on that a bit?
Well, sure. Well, this was built on what, you know, I'm sure the women in your audience have heard the term mansplaining, right? Where the woman might say something and then a man then takes that and puts it in his own words as if she didn't say anything at all. So we really, really want to encourage boys. We want to interfere with that when they go from boys to men, where we want our boys to really pay attention to what girls are saying and what they think and put value in it in the same way they would that if a boy was saying it. So we're really trying to interrupt those messages that come from a male-dominated society, that what men do and what men say are the most important things. We also have one that says, wear a female athlete's jersey to school, right? To really promote female athletes as well, who are just as successful within their particular sport, to really raise the awareness of boys that girls and women should be respected the same as boys and men.
And I understand that you're both anti-violence educators, and you've worked with everyone from the National Football League to the United States military, and this is part of where your work comes from. Can you talk a little bit about that experience, and have you worked with men in this capacity as well?
Yeah, sure. Well, that's what for over the last 20 years we've worked with men and boys. So we work with from middle school and high schoolers. We have curriculums for educators who work with middle school and high schoolers, colleges we work with and universities, military, grassroots organizations to corporate 500 to Fortune 500 companies, as well as all professional sports leagues. And when we work with men, this Book of Dares was really built on that work as well, because these men were boys also. All the things the boys of this generation have been told, they've just been passed down from the generation above them. So they're told not to cry, right? Which also means to them, don't feel, they don't know the difference, not to express any feelings except for anger, to be tough, not to ask for help. All of those things, to be hyper-masculine, to make all the decisions, to not be vulnerable. Those are things that our boys are taught in this generation, in 2021, and the generation above them. I have children, and I was taught the same, I was given the same messages that they were given. Now, what they learn at home from me is much different, but the messages they get from society reinforce a lot of things. And some of those things, again, to this man box concept, is that they're taught that women and girls have less value than men and boys, that women on some level are the property of men, and that women and girls are objects, in particular sexual objects. And the Book of Dares interrupts all of those messages.
Can you talk to us a little bit about, there's a term you mentioned, male vulnerability. And is there a tie between male vulnerability and our imperialistic culture, the need to subjugate the vulnerable male?
Well, when we look at the vulnerable male, if a male is vulnerable in this man box culture, this collective socialization of manhood, if he's vulnerable, we associate that with being feminine. So his vulnerability automatically puts him in a position where he's looked down upon from other men. And boys who show vulnerability and sensitivity are looked down upon through the male peers in their life. And those male peers are simply imitating what the men who they live with, who are in their society, the messages they get in through video games, music, social media, television and movies, that vulnerability is seen as weakness. So that's really what the problem is. It's really how we frame these things. And we frame them in a way from a male-dominated society where women and girls are seen as less value. So any characteristics associated with them are also seen as not desirable. And that's where the problem is.
And I would challenge us to really think about, you know, if vulnerability triggers men in some kind of way, or triggers parents in some kind of way around how they want their boys to be, I would just challenge us to think about it as emotional literacy. You know, that's just a fancy word for being able to recognize and express how you're feeling. And it's a life skill, and it's directly tied. Like, all the research shows us that children who have a more advanced emotional literacy, they have more productive relationships, healthier relationships, happier relationships, more success in their personal and professional lives. So it's really about developing a life skill.
If you just tuned in, we're speaking with authors Ted Bunch and Anna Marie Johnson Teague about their new book, The Book of Dares, 100 Ways for Boys to Be Kind, Bold, and Brave. Do you think we're kind of reaching a reckoning with the human race at large and the cultures that have been more imperialistic or more dominating throughout the world are having to kind of contend with ourselves? I mean, we're having these conversations now. This hasn't happened really before at the level that I think you're talking about.
I mean, there's no denying that our society is in a moment of great transformation, right? And a lot of the focus in that transformation is on the evolution of masculinity. And parents of boys are confronted with terms like toxic masculinity, like male privilege, and for moms like me, like white privilege, because I'm the mom of a 12-year-old white boy. And the headlines are dominated with stories about men behaving badly. But through this book, we want folks to know that being a boy is a wonderful thing. But we have to be intentional to make every boy's lived experience the best it can be. Otherwise, we just let society take over, and they're going to be programmed with all of these ideas about women and girls and about their own manhood. We have to be intentional about encouraging their authenticity, about helping them develop empathy, about educating them on healthy relationships, talking about consent, promoting emotional literacy. This is critical work for parents, for educators, and for mentors.
Now, what do you say to those who argue that you're feminizing men?
Well, we would say, no, we're not. We're actually, so there's wonderful things about being a boy, but what boys are expected, how they're expected to be, there's so much more than that. there's so much more than that. And that's where the dares around authenticity in particular kind of bring that out. There's so much more than that. So we're not looking to feminize boys. We're looking to encourage their full authentic self and not to already predetermine how they should be and who they are, that they actually, that can unfold with their true authentic self. So we're not trying to do that at all.
Yeah, and the outcomes for boys who embrace it, and for boys and men who embrace a healthy manhood, are just so much more positive. Physical health, emotional well-being, you know, male suicide is higher than female suicide with grown men and with our boys. Like, because men and boys are taught never to ask for help, not offer help or accept help, you know, it sets them up for potentially a damaging cycle of harm, and it makes them feel insecure and ashamed and lonely.
Is there a flip side to white privilege? We often talk about it as though it's this bad thing, but speaking of male vulnerability, is there sort of, what's the sort of underbelly of the white privilege that might not be a good thing?
Well, how I would want to address that is that, you know, male privilege and white privilege offers an opportunity. So all men and white men have an opportunity to speak out against the systems of oppression and to use that privilege in a positive way. And we want to empower boys to think critically about the ways that they impact the world around them.
Is white male, quote, privilege in some ways even a misnomer, in the sense that those who may benefit from white privilege are also given these standards to abide by that may be robbing them of a certain level of their humanity in adopting a male privilege attitude? Can you speak to that at all, or is that anything you can help me flesh out?
Well, I'll just speak to male privilege, really, and from the perspective of this. And we look at, and I would say this is probably true of any kind of privilege, that if with myself being a man and with my own male privilege, that it operates whether I want it to or not. I benefit from it whether I want it to or not. It's inherited. In other words, it's I was born into it. So I'm not to blame for it, but I am responsible to know that, okay, I do have male privilege. So when I see unfairness that's happening to women, for instance, it's up to me to speak out about it, that other men are going to hear that unfairness from me in ways that they wouldn't necessarily hear from women. And when we look at race privilege, it's the same thing, that the dominating group, or the dominant group, I should say, right, when something's happening, that members of that dominant group need to speak out around it. Otherwise, it's not going to change. So violence against women and girls is not going to change by women making the decisions of how it's going to change, because they don't have the power to do that. Men have the power to stop our own violence and discrimination. That's why it exists. If women could have stopped it, they would have stopped it a long time ago. But, and the same thing is true with race. So when we look at privilege, this is really not an indictment on manhood, and it's not an indictment on white people. It's an invitation to do things differently. And we're not interested in calling people out, but more importantly, calling people in, that we have hope that hopefully our society is at a point that this awakening is occurring, and that people want to really have the best country possible. And that means us all looking at ourselves and looking at what changes we need to make. And the Book of Dares really helps have those conversations with the boys in our life.
Anna, did you want to add anything there?
I would maybe just add that one of the reasons I find the book so powerful, in my conversations with my peers, is that I'm not saying that my son's experience is more important than your daughter's. I want to raise my son to value your daughter's experience as much as he does his own. And that's really the problem that we're trying to solve.
And if I could say, because Anna Marie just sparked something in me, and that when we have privilege, whether it's male privilege or white privilege, that's not saying that a white person hasn't had a difficult time or hasn't had to overcome obstacles. It just means that those obstacles and those difficulties have not been based on the color of your skin. And the same thing for male privilege. It's not to say that men haven't worked hard and haven't overcome obstacles, but any hindrance to their success has not been based on their gender.
Does it have any form of its own kind of oppression, white privilege?
I wouldn't call it oppression, but, you know, I think about South Africa and Nelson Mandela. One of the things that he made clear was that the oppression that was connected to apartheid not only impacted the black Africans, but the white Africans too, that they were connected to that oppression in a way that was harmful to them as well. And that's what I would say about this. One of the things we say at A Call to Men is that the liberation of men is directly tied to the liberation of women. And I would say the same thing around race, that the liberation of white folks to truly be free is directly tied to the liberation of black people truly being free. And that's where our humanity has to find a place to meet. And that's what seems to be happening here, as difficult and painful as it is to see our country go through it. Hopefully we're going to come out on the other side of it more understanding and more loving toward each other.
Right, and you found a brilliant way to come at it through the dare, which still preserves a certain measure of the masculinity.
Right.
If you just tuned in, we're speaking with authors Ted Bunch and Anna Marie Johnson Teague about their new book, The Book of Dares, 100 Ways for Boys to Be Kind, Bold, and Brave. Ted Bunch and Anna Marie Johnson Teague are friends, parents, and anti-violence educators. They work for A Call to Men, which is an organization that helps men and boys promote healthy manhood and prevent violence and discrimination. Where can people go to find you and your book?
So folks can find us at acalltomen.org. They can find everything on the homepage of acalltomen.org about the Book of Dares. You can order the Book of Dares from any major retailer, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. We encourage you to support independent booksellers and Black-owned bookstores as well. And you can follow us on our social channels at A Call to Men on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're great. Thank you.
And I'd like to close the show with one of your PSAs that uses graphics to highlight a number of important statistics. Did you know that domestic violence is the number one cause of injury for women in the United States? 1 in 4 women will be victims of domestic violence. 1 in 6 women will be victims of rape and sexual assault, 44% of whom will be under 18 years old. Over 50% of girls report experiencing sexual harassment in schools. The average age of a girl trafficked for sex in America, 13 years old. And of course, the PSA asks, why do we let this happen?
As men, we have unwritten rules and agreements, unnegotiated deals and codes of silence that other men come to expect from us. This collectively defines many aspects of our manhood. I remember asking a 12-year-old boy, a football player, so how would you feel if your coach told you in front of all the other players that you're playing like a girl? I thought he would say I'd be mad, I'd be angry, I'd be sad. But no, the boy told me it would destroy me. I said, wow. If it would destroy him being told that he's playing like a girl, what are we as men teaching him about girls? If we continue to treat women and girls as if they are of less value, the property of men and sexual objects, we continue to maintain a culture that reinforces discrimination and abuse towards them.
It is important to rethink and reshape how we as men have been taught to act and behave. We need to hold on to the many wonderful aspects of manhood and remove those things that hold us back.
We need to stop laughing and begin challenging inappropriate comments made about women and girls. We need to educate ourselves, our sons, and other young men and boys.
Our liberation as men is directly tied to the liberation of women.
Let's be the solution.
A Call to Men works with men and women to create a world where all men and all boys are loving and respectful, and all women and girls are valued and safe.
Help us create a new world by being part of the next generation of manhood.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete.